You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There is this loop that happens in my life year after year, and I don't remember it really until it's happening. And when I'm saying this out loud, I'm realizing it's actually twice a year, but I'll explain in just a minute. Every single time, it's the 4th of July, this is the one, maybe two, if it's New Year's, time of year that my dog comes into bed with us, with me and my wife, and sometimes my daughter nowadays, but we have this pug. He's black, and we have white sheets, so he gets his hair everywhere. Anyway, I don't really like the dog sleeping in bed, is what I'm trying to say, because inevitably there's fireworks, and he's freaking out, and then this morning at 4 a.m., he's just on my chest, like, looking at me, like, right, and it's a little creepy, it's this whole thing. But this happens every year, and I really don't remember it until I'm kind of getting ready for bed, and he's trembling, and I'm feeling really sad about it, and I'm like, okay, come on, buddy. But I don't remember it. And this loop, it happens time and time again. This loop, and loops in our lives are kind of a common thing. We have the seasons and that kind of thing too, but loops are a common part of our life. We do the same thing over and over again. You probably like the way that you drive to work and maybe do that every single day. But these loops can sometimes get old. And it can sometimes feel that we are living the same day or the same month or the same year or the same decade over and over and over again, like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. Wanting to close that loop, wanting things to change, wanting to hear a different song every time you are opening, in the movie, it's a song on the radio, but we don't really have that as much anymore, so anyway. But we have these loops, and one of those loops is feeling like we don't have total control over the things that we do. Feeling like things are a little out of control, a little far away from us, that we can't get our arms really around things that are going on in our life. We don't know what to do, or at least we feel like we can't do anything. We're unable to make it work. There's a film that came out in 2020, The Sound of Metal. This main character, Reuben, is losing his hearing. He's a heavy metal drummer, and he's losing his hearing. Those things might be connected. I don't know. But he's losing his hearing, and music is his life. Touring with his band is his life. He lives in an RV with his girlfriend, and he has lived a hard, hard life. He is an addict. He has had his fill of touring, let's just say. But he's in recovery, and so he's a former addict, and he goes to meetings throughout the movie, and he has a sponsor and these kinds of things. But as his hearing deteriorates over the course of the film, his desire for these expensive cochlear implants to where he could hear again increases. He can't really afford them. He's trying to get them. But Reuben wants really badly, as most of us would, to get his hearing back. He would do anything at some points for his hearing. He doesn't want to be left alone with his thoughts that are on a loop, that are on repeat, the thoughts that kind of get louder and louder when silence is all that he knows. So the silence grows around him, and he has these old pangs, these old addictions, these old urges. And that's also just being uncomfortable as well. So he does not like this silence, and he's asked at one point in the film, "How are you doing? Have you thought about using since you've lost your hearing?" And it's funny, he doesn't really say yes or no. He just says, "Today is not a good day." And that is his response. But Reuben, and the loop that Reuben is in this film, and the loops that we have in our lives are not so terribly different. There are things in our lives that are out of control that when we come back to them, whether it's a month, a year, or a week later, we don't necessarily want to be there. Reuben and us, we are looking for some kind of clarity. We are looking for some kind of break in this normal business of life that can clarify or bring something to us that tells us what to do, or that helps us get our arms around the thing that we're trying to grasp, that can help us understand what is going on. We are unable frequently to get things done the way that we want to get them done. For a number of years during seminary, I worked at a dairy, and one of my jobs was to go get the cows in the morning. And cows don't want to wake up a lot like us. So getting a cow to do what you want it to do when it doesn't want to do that thing sounds a lot like St. Paul in Romans. The cows know there's some oats waiting for them, but they're very comfortable in the fields. And there's not a whole lot of negotiation with like a 2-ton animal or whatever it is. They do what they want to do. But Paul speaks to the Romans, and he tells them something about himself. What do we do when we have these loops? What do we do when we have these things that we can't grasp, that we're trying to understand in our lives? What do we do when we keep coming back to the thing that we don't want to come back to, whether it's a person or a place or a thing? This longest letter in the New Testament, this Romans, this wonderful summation of the gospel, this very blatant ask for money to continue his ministry in Spain and to the ends of the earth, Paul is reflective. And he's reflective in chapter 7. And I would say he's even a little bit vulnerable here. He's vulnerable about himself in the particular as Paul, a Christian. But he also has something broader to say about Christians, the universal, by talking about himself in the particular. And this reflection starts in verse 15 in chapter 7. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And Kelly, you did such a good job of reading it. And if any of you grew up with the King James version of this, you know what a tongue twister roller coaster this verse is. There's a lot of do's and a lot of do nots, and it's just yeah. But this is kind of what he's getting at. Did you stay up late again when you didn't mean to? Have you told yourself that you would order the salad and the cheesecake looked really good? Have you yelled at someone that you love? Have you found yourself pouring just one more? Humanity in a nutshell. This is verse 15. For I do not do the thing that I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Not new to Paul, not new to us. But set in this context, it is kind of shining a light on these loops. I can will what is right, says Paul, but I cannot do it. I want to do better. This is the human condition. We want to do the right thing, but there is always something that prevents us from being the best versions of ourselves, from doing the thing that we want to do. And Paul says there is nothing in him that can really do that good or get to that best version of himself. There's nothing he can do that can lead to good. Only Christ doing something in him is good. In verse 23, he talks about these two. I kind of imagine it like Tom and Jerry. The cartoon. Actually, hang on, I'm onto something. I've been given something by the Holy Spirit, y'all. We're going to go with this. There's these two things sitting on his shoulders, eating the ice cream or not. Let's just go with Ben and Jerry. He says, for I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. These two kind of things pulling at him, whether it's the angel or the demon on his shoulder, kind of going back and forth. And he says in verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? And you might not feel wretched, and that's okay. I hope that you don't feel wretched. But you might feel frustrated. You might feel exhausted. You might feel really, really tired of that person, of this situation. You might be feeling really cut up and left out to dry. And this body of death that Paul talks about is not just some kind of like body of death, really good name for like a metal CD, but a description of what our bodies end up actually doing over time. Breaking down, failing, and dying. They inevitably fail. And then he gets to verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only one who can close the loop. The only one who can respond to that thing, that body of death that we all inhabit. Jesus Christ as the one who rescues and who saves. And it's only this little sentence at the very end of this passage we have in chapter 7. But Jesus is at the very end of this for Paul. The only one who can help. There's something similar in St. Augustine writes about in his Confessions, which is about his life and his prayer life. He has a prayer, or he talks about a prayer that he's prayed at one time. And it's a pretty funny prayer in my mind. And he says at some point he's praying to God and he says, "Lord, make me chaste, but not yet." That is verbatim. And this is kind of the feeling maybe that we get. And this is the thing for us. "Lord, help me do X, but let me have a little time before I have to do it." Because human knowledge, knowing what to do, and human life, doing the actual thing, are at odds with one another. There is this discrepancy between the two, and there is a big, vast, wide gulf between them. And it asks the question, if God is God, then who am I because of this gulf between knowing what to do and doing the thing? What am I in relation to this God? I know what I want to do, but doing the thing is hard, and I need some help. I live with a toddler, and I work with adults, same thing, and I see it all the time, and you do too. We lie, we exaggerate, we talk to people when we don't need to be talking to people about something. We whisper about the people that we know and we love and we work with. We lose our temper, all of these things. And doing the thing that we want to do feels impossible. It feels like a game of whack-a-mole. It feels like cutting the head off a hydra. You get one thing done and another head sprouts, or three other heads sprout up. Continuing burdens, continuing challenges and frustrations. But I call us back to verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where is Jesus in this? Well, he is there bridging that gulf between wanting to do the thing and doing the thing. He is the one who comes in and rescues us, not bidding us to do nothing. You remember from last week, should we go on sinning that grace may abound? By no means. But he does give us this mercy, this grace, this bridge, this way forward. And he doesn't promise clarity to the people that follow him. He doesn't say that all their troubles will go away. And if you're a good reader of your Bible, you know that in fact, most of those early disciples, their troubles increased when they followed Jesus. And that's kind of what some people can expect. He doesn't promise that their lives will change, that they'll influence others, that Jesus will heal their inner child and get rid of the joint pain. All he says is, "What are you looking for? Come and see." It's compelling enough for Paul, this mercy. It's compelling enough to have us come here today, to come and see. It's this recognition that God is inviting us into this table, that God is inviting us into the waters of baptism. It is this call to come to God and be transformed, because that's what we believe. If you listen to our prayers in the Episcopal Church, what we pray is what we believe. And if you listen to these prayers while we're praying them at the Eucharist today, you will hear us ask to be changed by God. There's not a ton, Paul says, that we can kind of do on our own. But when we meet Jesus in this bread and in this wine, that is the catalyst for change. Christ coming to us and being near us and being with us. The Holy Spirit descending upon us during baptism, marked and sealed by that Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of things that go on in these loops, though. A lot of things that cause us to get in the loop, and there's a lot of things that can feel too heavy to lift. But we got to hear in the Gospel of Matthew today words that we hear every single Sunday. We hear them in the comfortable words, which are right after the confession of sin. Most of the time, you're so pious, you're praying, you're not looking at the screen when it says comfortable words. But you'll hear me say them today after the confession. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This mercy, this grace is rest, letting us pick up the things with the help of Christ that we could not pick up otherwise. And we do have something to do. We get to come forward and to meet Jesus here. Whether we are taking that bread and the wine, or whether we are crossing ourselves and being given a blessing, this communion, this time together, coming and seeing that the Lord is good and can change us, God takes these small, frail things, me and you, and makes them into something. God sees them and comes close to these things. In the Gospel of Luke, Mary says, casting down the mighty, lifting up the lowly in this bread, this wine, this water. And it sounds silly, and it sounds simple, and it sounds small, and it is most of the time. But it is God at work. It is God closing the loop. It is God making all things new. It is Christ coming and being with us and saying, I am here. I am with you. Thanks be to God that we have something to give, that we have something through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that this God comes and meets us where we are. Let us pray. Almighty God, teach us to see you in all things, that we might be transformed by your Son. We pray all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.